my fellow traitors to our Truth Is Now Treason podcast. This is our second episode in the series called Ultimate Treason. Thank you for joining us. I want to remind you, make sure that you like us on Facebook and you follow us on Spotify, because I am Dietrich and this is
Lennox. In our last episode, Dietrich and I talked about Christian persecution, and we gave some interesting but alarming statistics on the severity of numerous accounts of Christians suffering in some manner for their faith. In many cases, especially outside America, where people were enduring so much suffering to the point of death. In America, however, not so much, but we are beginning to see signs that it might be coming. And in this episode, we want to delve into this question. Why do so many hate Christians or Christianity? What do you think? Do you think it might be because in these other countries, the government might feel threatened with losing power in some way? Or do you think it might be that people are suspicious of anything that is different or outside the norm?
Now, it could possibly be that, among other things. Many individuals have tried to analyze this unjust behavior going on against followers of Christ. It could be that these countries, there are laws in that state that the official religion, such and such is the official religion, so they see it as defying authority. Now, we do know that jihadists and Muslim extremists are taught to hate Christians because they are seen as the enemy that needs to be stomped out. Now, I want to focus on this one in particular, because I see this as the one major reason why there is Christian persecution across our world. Let's listen to a guy who worked for our military. Now, his purpose was to teach our soldiers about our enemy's mindset, our terrorist's mindset. To better understand your enemy, you need to know how they think. Robert Spencer is going to speak to a group of college students in this clip that we're going to listen to. It's for the YAF, and he has been invited as their guest speaker.
Islam, as you have no doubt learned, is one of the world's great religions, and many, many people hold to it. Many people hold to it very, very fervently, and many people don't. It's just like any other religion in that regard. Some people take it very seriously, and some do not. Just like with Christians, there's some Christians who know the Bible back and forward, backward and forward, and pray all the time and go to church, and there are others who say, well, yes, I'm a Christian, but they don't do any of these things. The problem is that in the case of Islam, you're talking about a religion that teaches warfare against unbelievers and the necessity for the believers to conquer non-Muslim communities and subjugate them under the rule of the Muslims and Islamic law. Now, this is a widely controverted point, and you've heard everybody say Islam is a religion of peace. Probably your teachers have told you this as well. But the unpleasant fact is that there are so many terrorists, there are so many terrorist groups that are Islamic, not just the Taliban, but Al-Qaeda and ISIS, Boko Haram in Nigeria, Al-Shabaab in Somalia, so many others. Pretty much everywhere around the world, there are jihad terror groups. And this is because this kind of violence against non-believers actually has support within the Islamic teachings. So if you're the average Afghan and you go to school, you're going to learn that it is part of the responsibility of your religion that you should wage war against unbelievers.
Did you know that the Bible actually mentions this hate? It says that men will hate Christians. In Matthew 24, verse 9, it says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, you being Christians, and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." So Jesus is talking about what is to come.
I know it says in John 15:19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, and I chose you to be out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
In John 3:19, it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil.
In Romans 8:7, it specifically says, because of our sinful nature, we are hostile to God. Hostile to God being, you don't like him, you hate him, you despise him. And it says that all of us are like that and that we're born that way.
You know, when it comes to hostile to God, here's something that we need to remember. When you're hostile towards something, you despise that something. So we were born to be hostile to God. Everybody, every single one of us, We were born to be hostile to God because we hate the God who tells us that what we are doing is sinful. And when somebody decides, you know what, I'm turning against that sin and turning to God, everybody's going to hate you because they are hostile towards God. And because they see you as not hostile towards God, you're going to be hated for it. And we see that this is actually the case again in John chapter 7, verse 7. This is what Jesus said. He says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I accuse it of doing evil.
Hang on a second, because to the person who says, I'm a good person, I'm not like those individuals who are killing Christians, or I haven't done any of that. I don't hate anyone. No one really thinks they are evil, do they? We might even describe ourselves or somebody else as having a good heart. Or he means well. That's our inclination, isn't it? It's our attitude towards ourselves many times, and maybe in regards to what we say about others, correct?
In Jeremiah 17:9, it says explicitly the opposite about man. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So, you know, even when your heart's telling you, hey, you're a good person, keep in mind, the thing that's telling you that, it's deceitful and desperately wicked. So it may just be trying to fool you.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Dietrich. In Jeremiah 17:9, it explicitly says, it clearly says that we are deceitful and wicked. And without God, we are ugly. There are other places in the scripture that describes us as being dead when we don't know God and we're in this state of sin. And dead is smelly, decomposing, rotting. So we're very wicked and deceitful, maybe even to the point of tormenting others or even taking their lives, like what we've been talking about.
You know, when God first created Adam and Eve, humankind's condition was ideal. Everything was perfect. And then when sin entered the picture, because Adam and Eve willfully disobeyed God, what happened? All that perfection was demolished and everything became imperfect. The perfect environment was gone. The innocence was gone. The fellowship with God was gone. And since then, the human condition has changed for the worse. Something does happen to restore man to God, though, which we're going to explain in our next episode. But right now, I want to talk more about this sinful state, because this is contrary to the teaching that we hear a lot of times. You know, Jean-Jacques Rousseau theorized that man is naturally good, but he's corrupted by society. And then Aristotle and John Locke said that we're born an empty slate and that we're free to define the content of our character, and that outside forces change us. This isn't even remotely the case. A lot of people want to tell you, you're born good. You're good, I'm good, we're all good. We're all born in just wonderful little creatures. Then explain this to me. Why do you have to teach your kids not to punch another kid? Why do you have to teach your kid not to steal somebody else's toys? Why do you have to teach your kid every single little thing? Guess what? Like you and like me, they're not born good. They're born sinners, just like everybody else. We're born sinful and estranged from God.
Yeah, and to go along with what you said, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that there is not a person who is not in the state of sinfulness.
You know, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, due to Adam's fall into sin, mankind has been corrupted in every single way. The way we think is corrupted. Our emotions, our actions, they're all corrupted. The way we think is sinful. The way we feel is sinful. And the way we choose to do the things we want to do, our actions are sinful, and the way we choose to do them are sinful. We naturally love darkness and we do not understand the things of God.
Yeah, and if you stop and look around, we can see this sin all around us if we watch, look, and listen. And it might manifest itself in certain actions. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the form of murder like we talked about earlier. These things that I'm going to mention could be the result of sin. What about crime? Rape, murder, theft, assault, property damage, just sheer lawlessness like we've seen in Portland over the last year and a half.
What?
Selfishness, different kinds of sexual sins, suicides even, divorce, child abuse, domestic violence, alcoholism, drug addiction, and yes, overeating. And even loneliness could be a result of sin. And no, I'm not trying to be a mental health expert here. I realize there are some situations where sometimes this could be a mental illness rather than a sin. But there are costs to sin. And here's just an example of a physical cost in regards to gluttony, the sin of gluttony. Medical costs for people who had obesity, and I want to say this was 2020, it was $1,429 higher than medical costs for people with healthy weight. And that's in the United States. That's from the CDC's website.
You know, Lennox mentioned suicides. I just have to stop and ask our audience, do you want to take a guess? In 2019, how many people committed suicide? 47,511 in the United States. Now, Lennox, you also mentioned loneliness. We have statistics about that. 2 in 5 Americans report that they are sometimes or always feel like their social relationships are not meaningful. And 1 in 5 say that they feel lonely or socially isolated.
To go along with that, what Dietrich said about social relationships not being meaningful in regards to divorce. I realize divorce is becoming less common with millennials, but when you think about baby boomers, it's on the rise. And according to the Pew Research Center, the divorce rate has roughly doubled since the 1990s for American adults ages 50 and older.
You know, another thing we need to consider is drug use. I think we all know that there's a problem with drug overdoses and deaths in our nation. Mental health experts have been warning about the psychological effect that this pandemic may have on many Americans. The economic stress coupled with anxiety and depression brought on by being home alone, it's going to have a lasting impact. Some healthcare professionals are worried that these factors may contribute to an increase in addiction to alcohol and other substances. There was a study done by the Recovery Village where they looked into people. They asked 1,000 American adults about their use of drug and alcohol over the last month. 55% said they had an increase in the amount of alcohol consumption, with 18% reporting a significant increase. 36% reported an increase in drug abuse. Now, the participants were asked why they were prompted to use substances over the last month. Most of them said they were doing it because of stress, boredom, or anxiety or depression.
So we know, according to scripture, that man is lost. And it just isn't one person being lost, it's everyone. And there has to be something better than this. So let me break you the good news. Yes, there is something better. There is hope, my fellow traders.
Now, we all have heard that the penalty for sin is death, but God does offer something. I want you to stay tuned because I'm excited to tell you that we know that there is a way out of this. We don't have to stay in this hate-filled, ugly, gross, and helpless state. If someone is listening and you're looking for something that satisfies or fills that void in your life, if you want to replace the hate that you may have towards someone with love and acceptance, our next episode in this series, An Ultimate Treason, is just for you. So I'm excited about this. We can't wait to bring you this next episode. Until next time, my fellow traders.